appropriate words, those final ones, as we consider the influence of false teachers. In that psalm, it mentions asking to be saved from the group of foreign powers and the ones whose mouth speaks what is false, the one whose right hand is the same, a right hand of deceitfulness. And that's certainly our prayer, that God would protect us, and as we'll be reading about this in Jude. So please turn in your Bible to this letter of Jude. And it's found on page 1405 of the Pew Bible. This evening we're going to focus on verses 11 to 13. Let's read the whole of this letter. Jude, a bondservant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to those who are called, sanctified by God the Father, and preserved in Jesus Christ, mercy, peace, and love be multiplied to you. Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. For certain men have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were marked out for this condemnation. Ungodly men, who turned the grace of our God into lewdness and denied the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. But I want to remind you, lo, you once knew this, that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who did not believe. And the angels, who did not keep their proper domain, but left their own abode, he has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day. As Sodom and Gomorrah, and the cities around them in a similar manner to these, having given themselves over to sexual immorality and gone after strange flesh, are set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise also these dreamers defile the flesh, reject authority, and speak evil of dignitaries. Yet Michael, the archangel, in contending with the devil, when he disputed about the body of Moses, dared not bring against him a reviling accusation, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." But these speak evil of whatever they do not know, and whatever they know naturally, like brute beasts, in these things they corrupt themselves. Woe to them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, have run greedily in the error of Balaam for profit, and perished in the rebellion of Korah. These are spots in your love feasts, while they feast with you without fear, serving only themselves. They are clouds without water, carried about by the winds, late autumn trees without fruit, twice dead, pulled up by the roots, raging waves of the sea, foaming up their own shame, wandering stars for whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Now Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men also, saying, "Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment on all, to convict all who are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have committed in an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are grumblers, complainers, walking according to their own lusts, and they mouth great swelling words, flattering people to gain advantage. But you, beloved, remember the words which were spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how they told you that there would be mockers in the last times who would walk according to their own ungodly lusts. These are sensual persons who cause divisions, not having the Spirit. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And on some have compassion, making a distinction, but others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. Amen. May God bless us the reading of his word. Well, please keep this passage open before you. In August 1945, the U.S. Air Force dropped leaflets on various cities in Japan. And these leaflets said to the Japanese people, "America asks that you take immediate heed of what we say on this leaflet. We are in possession of the most destructive explosive ever devised by man. A single one of our newly developed atomic bombs is actually the equivalent in explosive power to what 2,000 of our giant B-29s can carry on a single mission. This awful fact is one for you to ponder, and we solemnly assure you it is grimly accurate. You should take steps now to cease military resistance. Otherwise, we shall resolutely employ this bomb and all our other superior weapons to promptly and forcefully end this war. Evacuate your cities." And the U.S. Air Force warned Japan of the consequences of not surrendering. The U.S. military had developed a weapon more destructive than had ever been seen in World War II. And this warning was to protect civilian life. And if you were living in Nagasaki or Hiroshima and you took this threat seriously and evacuated, you would live. This warning, although heavy, was for their good. And likewise, Jude is a letter of warning. It's not much longer than these flyers dropped over Japan. And it is likewise alarming. Jude warns his readers how false teachers have crept into the church. And so in response, he tells them to contend earnestly for the gospel. He helps them see, as we noted last week, these false teachers will be judged for their rejection of God and his authority on their lives by reminding them of different Old Testament examples. Judgment was not the only consequence. These false teachers would have a negative impact on those who listened to them. These men destroyed the faith of their followers. Their false doctrine led to hearts, rather than be excited by the gospel, hearts that had become cold and entangled in sin. That's why Jude gives this warning. He wants his readers to take this seriously. And so let's consider this evening how you are to contend for the faith by recognizing these false teachers and their false teaching, how it will destroy your faith. Instead, you are to follow Christ. Only in him is there life. So Jude again gives us a number of Old Testament examples. Examples that he expects his readers to know. That's why he doesn't give much information on them. But in giving these different examples, he's teaching that these false teachers come in different forms. So firstly, consider, you're not to go in the way of Cain, in verse 11. You're not to go in the way of Cain. Now, we can read of Cain in Genesis chapter 4. Cain was a farmer. His brother Abel was a shepherd. Both men worshiped God. Cain offered to God the fruit of the ground, while Abel offered to God a sacrificed lamb. Abel's sacrifice was acceptable to the Lord, but the sacrifice that Cain offered wasn't acceptable. As a result, Cain became angry. The writer to the Hebrews helps us understand the difference between the offerings. You'll see this in your handout, Hebrews 11, verse 4. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous. So unlike Abel, Cain lacked faith. He did not trust God. He did not recognize how God had already set up this pattern that Abel followed of sacrificing an animal to cover sin when he made clothes of skin for his parents. Instead, Cain came up with his own self-made worship, where he decided to bring to God the produce from his fields. But this offering was not acceptable. And we see how Cain handled this. He deceived his brother by inviting him out to the field to then kill him. And John tells us why he killed him in 1 John 4, verse 11. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of the wicked one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his works were evil and his brother righteous. Cain had neither faith in God, evident in his attempt to come to God in his own way, nor does he have a love for others, evident in his murder of his brother Abel. Therefore, Cain was not a converted man. Instead, he was of the wicked one. He was a bitter, jealous man. And Jude uses this example, Cain's way, as an example of the unconverted false teachers, who teaches that you can come to God any way you like. That's a lie. And they teach this not out of ignorance, for they too know better. No, they lie because they don't care for their followers. They do not love them. They have no concern for the spiritual welfare of their followers. For all who follow their teaching will likewise find themselves unacceptable to God. You see the negative influence of these false teachers on their followers. One early writer, Andreas, says, false doctrine kills souls. Those who teach the truth, these false teachers do not show them love, but are envious of them and seek to destroy them. One example is Bishop Michael Curry. You may remember him. He preached the message at Prince Harry and Meghan Markle's wedding, a sermon that received much praise. He spoke of the unconditional love of God for the world and of how Jesus started a movement mandating people to live that love and in so doing to change not only their lives, but the very life of the world itself. We must discover love, he said. It sounds good, but it doesn't sound like Jesus. He came into the world and rather than tell people to love, he told people to repent. The kingdom of God is near. Bishop Curry himself was part of a disciplinary panel that found a fellow bishop guilty of breaking church law in banning same-sex marriage in his own diocese. And so we see Bishop Curry's attempts to put down any who teach the truth. Bishop Curry's message of love is not the message of the gospel. Your love for one another does not come up to God's standard. Instead, you must come to God in a way that is acceptable to God. The only way is the way of Christ. Any other way is the way of Cain. Well, secondly, let's consider you're not to run with Balaam and greedily seek profit. So Jude moves on to the next Old Testament example, that of Balaam. In the book of Numbers, we read of King Balak, who hired Balaam to curse Israel. Balaam had got a reputation of being a mystic who was willing to work for whoever paid best. And famously, God prevented him from cursing by using his donkey to speak to him. And so instead, Balaam blessed Israel. And although God used Balaam to bless Israel on that occasion, we read that Balaam led Israel into idolatry and sexual immorality. Revelation 2, verse 14. John is speaking to the churches, but I have a few things against you, because you have there those who hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to put a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed to idols, and to commit sexual immorality. Balaam clearly had powers, but he used his influence as a stumbling block to draw people away from God and away from living a life of godliness. As God had warned his people of prophets like this in Deuteronomy 13, you'll have this in your handout, if there arises among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and he gives you a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder comes to pass of which he spoke to you, saying, let us go after other gods, which you have not known, and let us serve them, you shall not listen to the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God is testing you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. And Jesus warned us of this in Mark 13, verse 22. For false Christs and false prophets will rise and show signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. Today we see many who perform signs, incredible wonders, and they say that they do it all in Christ's name. Consider the many televangelists who can manipulate crowds of people into euphoria to behave in completely out of control ways. They prey on the weak and on the vulnerable. All the while, they get rich. And that was the incentive for Balaam. He was interested in financial gain. He sold his soul for material gain. He was a popular prophet, for he told the Israelites that they can sin without there being any consequences. And because he had dreams and visions, many followed him. Well, this racket continues. It's what led to the Reformation. In 1517, Tetzel began to sell indulgences near Wittenberg with the offer of forgiveness of sins. Commoners could come and purchase from the church a letter that allegedly freed their loved one from purgatory. And Rome profited from this sham. The proceeds helped Pope Leo X pay for the new basilica, the new St. Peter's Basilica in Rome. Well, this abuse enraged Martin Luther, and he determined that there must be a public debate on this matter. And so on October 31, 1517, he nailed a list of 95 theses regarding indulgences onto the door of the Castle Church in Wittenberg. Luther hoped to provoke a discussion. Instead, it led to a revolution. His notice fell into the hands of printers, and this document was spread throughout Germany and Europe in a few weeks, giving birth to the Reformation. Well, likewise today, there are many false teachers who are happy to tell their congregations what they want to hear so they can keep receiving their paycheck. These congregations want to be kept comfortable. They don't want to be challenged. But in doing so, they grow weak. They're not able to withstand temptation or trials when they come. So financial gain therefore compromises the gospel. So you must not run with such false teachers who, for the sake of profit, will not teach the truth and leave their people lacking. Well, thirdly, let's consider, you're not to join in with Korah's rebellion, who sought selfish ambition. So Jude's final example is that of Korah. Korah was a Levite and so had the privileged position of serving in the tabernacle. But he rebelled against the leadership of Moses and Aaron, believing that since all of God's people are holy, well, then anyone had the right to become a leader. So he questioned, who are Moses and Aaron to be leading God's people? And Korah gathered together 250 other Israelites who were well known, who were highly respected men in the community, to rebel against Moses and Aaron, who were God's anointed. Korah desired leadership and power. He was unhappy being under the leadership of Moses, but the consequences were obvious for his behavior. We read that God judged Korah and his family. They were swallowed up by the earth, and that fire consumed the 250 men who followed Korah. Number 16, verse 30, if the ground opens its mouth and swallows them up with all that belongs to them, and they go down alive into Sheol, then you shall know that these men have despised the Lord. So in rejecting God's servants, Korah rejected God and despised God. The way of God is not one of power and prestige. Instead, it's a way of service. Korah had that in the tabernacle, but it clearly wasn't enough for him. He wanted a higher position, a position that only God can give. And today we see false teachers who are hungry for power and for recognition. And to gain this position, they often discredit others. They slander other churches. You hear them say things like, oh, that's the church without the Holy Spirit. Or that church doesn't believe in evangelism. That church, it teaches that you're all robots. And so you hear them describing other evangelical churches as false churches, that they are apostate. Instead, they see themselves as the only true church. All others are unbelievers. Well, that is wrong. That's false. The church isn't to be concerned with how powerful it is or how popular it is. Instead, the church is to be a servant. Korah was not the only man to seek positions of leadership. Remember, James and John, with the help of their mother, sought positions of power. And Christ taught his disciples in Mark 10, you know that those who are considered rulers over the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you. But whoever desires to become great among you shall be your servant, and whoever of you desires to be first shall be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Korah, out of vain ambition, sought power. In doing so, he brought about his own downfall. And he brought about the downfall of 250 other men, as well as his own family. Watch out for those who seek power. They will use you for their own selfish desires. Well, fourthly, let's consider, these men are dangerous, useless, dead, shameful, and misguided. Verses 12 to 13. So Jude, he moves on from biblical examples to using picture language to help us see exactly what these men are like. So the first picture we read in the New King James Version is spots or blemishes, although a better translation would be hidden reefs or rocks. Hidden reefs are a danger to ships. These reefs would wreck ships, leading to a loss of cargo and a loss of life. These love feasts that Jude mentions were a time for a congregation to enjoy a fellowship meal together, as well as observe the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. But these love feasts were open to abuse, and we see why. The false teachers are there to only serve themselves. These love feasts were meant to be a time of encouragement.
They were meant to be a time of strengthening the believers in their faith. But instead, they became opportunities for believers to have their faith shipwrecked. And that's because these false teachers served only themselves. Other translations describe them as shepherds, feeding themselves. Shepherds are meant to care for the flock and protect them from the wolf and from other dangers. No, these men were only interested in themselves. They feast without fear or concern for their flock. Hyde, in his commentary, says, "False shepherds do not feed the sheep. They eat them." That's what false doctrine does. It devours souls. The next picture that Jude uses to describe these false teachers is that they are clouds without water, carried about by the winds. Now, growing up in a damp climate, clouds were not what you wanted to see. It would be the opposite. You wanted to see the sun out. You wanted to see a blue sky, but the clouds were never far in coming. In Palestine, it would be the opposite. You long to see clouds to water that barren landscape. In times of drought, there would be an excitement when you see a cloud in the sky. But then disappointment when these clouds would pass over by the winds without even giving a drop of rain. And so these false teachers, they look promising. There's an excitement. There is potential. They offer nothing. There's no spiritual nourishment. Their sermons are empty. They keep their listeners immature and unprepared for difficulty. What are the teachings that have taken over the church today? Well, it's environmentalism. It's racial equality. It's social justice. It's politics. Now, these are important topics, but they don't replace the gospel. They don't provide refreshment. They won't strengthen you in your walk with God. Jude's next picture is that of barren fruit trees. Late autumn trees without fruits, twice dead, pulled up by their roots. These trees provide no harvest, and we see why. They're pulled up by their roots. And Jude, in using this illustration, is saying these false teachers are living barren lives. They should be producing fruit, but they don't. And Jesus in his teaching shows that this is a warning sign. In Matthew 7, verse 20, "By their fruit you will recognize them." Well, they had no fruit, and that should set off alarm bells. And we see why. They are uprooted. They should be rooted into the life source, which is Jesus Christ. But instead, they are trying to do this in their own strength. What does Jude mean by the fact that they're twice dead? Well, an uprooted tree is, in effect, a dead tree, but twice dead in that it will be burned for firewood. Likewise, these false teachers, not only are they spiritually dead, they are storing up for themselves an eternal death in hell. Jude's next picture is that of the wild waves of the sea. The sea was a picture of evil for the Jews. That's why in Revelation there will be no more sea, no more separation. Enemies of God are often described as waves of the sea for the damage that they cause. The false teachers are in a rage against God. They're like waves in a storm that rock the boat back and forth. So rather than bringing calm and safety, these false teachers unsettle believers. And Paul speaks of this in Ephesians 4. "We should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting." Watch out for these waves. But waves also have a way of exposing what they contain. They bring to the shore various rubbish. So after a storm, beaches will be covered in debris, like oil drums or fishing nets or logs, lots of slime and foam. These false teachers, they don't produce fruit. Instead, they produce shame. All the sin in their life finally comes out. It's ugly. It's shameful. Well, the final picture that Jude brings is that of wandering stars, for whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. When Jude speaks of wandering stars, he's possibly referring to shooting stars, but most likely it's the planets that are orbiting around the sun. In those days, they depended on the stars for travel, but stars that moved were not reliable. They would only confuse. They would only lead you in the wrong direction. Ultimately, if you follow one of these wandering stars, it would take you to your destruction. Hell is often described as a place of darkness. So to follow a wandering star is to be heading for blackest darkness forever. These stars are guiding you to hell. Sadly, these false teachers were guiding their people to hell. We now have an expression for that, drinking the Kool-Aid, where one false teacher, Jim Jones, misguided 900 people. And yet they willingly followed him to Guyana in South America to set up a commune, to later take part in a mass suicide by drinking poison Kool-Aid. Such a tragic event, and yet shows clearly the danger of following wandering stars. Jude paints these pictures of false teachers so you never forget how dangerous, how useless, how dead, shameful, and misguided they are. Well, finally, notice, follow Christ, for in him there is life. These false teachers are wicked men who use people for their own selfish purpose. And no wonder Jude in verse 11 says, woe to them. This was the same judgment that Jesus said of the Pharisees and the scribes. Numerous times we read of woe to them in Matthew 23. One example is, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you travel land and sea to win one proselyte. And when he is won, you make him twice as much a son of hell as yourselves. Well, these false teachers that Jude is speaking to were doing exactly the same thing. Their influence was dangerous. And false teachers are still present today. You are to be on your guard. You are to be vigilant, that you don't fall under the same influence. Benton says we are to test all teachers by their doctrine and their life. True Christian leadership is humble service out of devotion to the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, the world today has been influenced by many philosophers like Marx or Rousseau, who made various claims about truth, about what is reasonable, about what is rational. And yet when you consider the lives of these men, their lives were full of immorality, of cheating, of broken marriages. They were simply making a way for themselves to pursue their own lusts. Their own lives should have discredited their teaching. And yet the reality is, all leadership will fall short because all leaders are sinners. We all fall short of God's standards. But true teachers are those who don't seek a following of their own, but they point their people to the Savior, to Jesus Christ. For Christ is the shepherd who feeds the flocks, who seeks after those who are lost and brings them back and binds up their wounds. Christ is the water that satisfies, that brings true refreshment so that you're never thirsty again. Christ is the vine. All who remain in him produce fruit. Christ is the rock in the midst of the raging seas. All who stand on the rock are safe and secure. Christ is the bright and morning star. All who follow him are guided into eternal life. So as you contend for the faith, be sure to recognize false teachers who will destroy your faith by their false teaching. Instead, follow Christ, for only in him is their life. Now, the Titanic was built in Belfast, and since the sinking of that ship, the city of Belfast didn't talk much about its most famous ship. That is, until recently, thanks to Kate and Leo, people have now become fascinated by this boat. And so Belfast sees it as an opportunity for tourism. People want to see where the Titanic was built. And the dry docks are still there. The drawing offices where she was designed are still there. It's now a hotel. And like in all touristy areas, there's lots of souvenirs that are sold, where you can buy t-shirts and mugs. And on these various mugs and t-shirts, there are slogans. A couple of them. One of them says, "Titanic, she was all right when she left here." The second one was, "Titanic, built by Irishmen, sunk by Englishmen." And there is an element of truth to that. The ship was at the time technologically superior than most ships of its day. And while it may have been an iceberg that scraped a hole in the side of that ship, we see the influence of false teachers of that day. Journalists wrote when Titanic was being launched that God himself couldn't sink this ship. And so in pride, the captain ignored all the warnings and went full speed ahead into the ice field. Well, that pride can easily seep into the church, where we think that we know better than God, when we reduce his laws to optional extras. His judgments is only scaremongering. His way is one way among many. We replace his gospel with current agendas. Jude is clear. Such false teaching is dangerous. The effects are devastating on people's faith, ultimately lead people to hell. So as you contend for the faith, heed Jude's warning. Recognize these false teachers and instead follow Christ. Only in him is their life. Amen. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your word. We thank you for this letter from Jude. Lord, we thank you for the Old Testament warnings that Jude reminds us of. Lord, we pray that you would help us to be wary of false teachers who go in the way of Cain, who have that same greed of Balaam, who seek positions of power like Korah. Lord, help us to identify these false teachers and help us to see them for who they really are, as dangerous and useless and dead and shameful and misguided. Instead, Lord, help us to follow Christ. Help us to see that he is our shepherd. He is the water that satisfies. He is the vine. In him we produce fruit. He is the rock where we are secure. He is the morning star that guides us to eternal life. So, Lord, help us and remind us of this truth. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's close our service singing Psalm 26a. Psalm 26a. The psalmist here seeks to walk in integrity. He does not want to be influenced by evil men. And we see God blesses those who walk in this way. So let's praise God with these words. Let's stand and sing Psalm 26a.